Just a brief look at that first reading from Thessalonians. One of the most hope-filled passages, verses in all of the scriptures. We do not want you to be unaware about those who have fallen asleep, so that you may not grieve like the rest who have no hope. So we're not like the others who grieve without hope. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, as believers in the promise, we do grieve at the death of loved ones, but we don't grieve as those with no hope, because we believe in the promise of the resurrection. And so that we can be sad when people close to us die. But we're not sad because it's the end in the natural sense. We're sad because one we love is no longer here with us. But we have hope in the resurrection, hope in eternal life. So when we grieve our loved ones who have passed, we grieve with the hope, with the confident expectation that the promises of Jesus will be fulfilled. In our gospel now, we turn to Luke's gospel. We've been hearing from Matthew for the last little bit, and now for the rest of this liturgical year, we're in Luke's gospel. And so he's bringing us back to the beginning of the public ministry of Jesus. So we need to kind of do a flip in our brains as this revelation of Jesus is being presented to us in these weekday homilies. And maybe in the continuation from our theme from yesterday, of Jesus not always, our life as disciples not always being as we expect it to be. And Jesus stood up and he proclaimed this prophecy from Isaiah. And they were all delighted and so happy and so ecstatic because he said that today this was fulfilled in their hearing. That's in our hearing. The pride that must have bubbled up inside of them to think that finally it's coming true for us. They were so happy, so ecstatic. But it changed ever so quickly when he reminded them that even way back then, those outside the promise, the Gentiles, the pagans, have been receiving the favor of God. And they didn't like that. The chosen people were very exclusive. They did not want to hear about other people receiving the benefits of God. So they were infuriated and tried to kill him from the very first moments of his public ministry. But what did he say? What was the prophecy? It's the good work that he came to do. So on this day in our country, when we take a break from our work in order to celebrate work, we are reminded that work is a gift. That part of our constitution, not the American Constitution, but the part of our makeup as individuals, as human beings, that we're made to work. And a variety of different capacities, of course. But work is a good thing. As we enter into our daily labors, if we do so well, we are cooperating with God, with the creative powers of God the Father. Like Adam was given the charge to till and to dominate the land from the very beginning, before the original sin. The Lord expects us to cooperate with him. And by doing so, we contribute to the redemption of mankind, to our own redemption, and to the perfection of this world, as God's grace is more readily able to flow throughout the world. And so whatever our particular jobs may be, and as necessary as some of them are, the works that Jesus prophesied and proclaimed in the gospel today are the most important works. And these are the works that Christ came to fulfill. And these are the works that he most readily wants us to participate, to cooperate with him. And so as we go forth today and for the rest of our lives, that this today being fulfilled is every day in our life with Jesus Christ. So what can we do this day to bring glad tidings to the poor? What can we do to help set the captives free? to proclaim liberty and help recover the sight of the blind. What can we do this day to help this prophecy be fulfilled in our hearing today?